This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Howland. He's one of the employee owners at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. We're here live on this Small Business Saturday. Still waking up from our, food comas. But we're doing our best. We're pretty peppy this morning.
Yeah.
And we're here to help you out with your computer comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. From anywhere on the planet, and you shouldn't be charged anything if you use a cell phone to get to us, and we'll do our best to help you out. We're also broadcasting live on the old Facebooks over at the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network. If you want to join us there, you just ask, and we'll let you in. The only reason it's a private group is to keep all the spammy folks out. There's some issues with that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So hopefully we've done that. We still could find a few that cause issues, but the goal is to just limit that.
Yeah, it's pretty rare, but other groups that I'm in that are open are much more prone to getting that spam.
Yeah, so we're broadcasting live there. Great group there. You can post your questions within that Facebook group anytime, and you have all sorts of folks helping out. Dennis is also very active in there as well. So as usual and customary, we do have technology news we should make you aware of. What do you got going on, Dennis?
Well, we know that it's a very hot retail season.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be. Mm-hmm. For some retail chains, they've got a bit of a headache.
Oh, no. What happened?
Yeah. There is a software provider called Blue Yonder.
Okay.
Now, in that name, if you know anything about the computer industry these days, what are you going to think of?
Cloud. I think
Blue Yonder. Cloud.
Yes. Wonderful. Well, this, pain-free, trouble-free, if I put it in the cloud. Right, Dennis?
That's right. Nothing ever goes wrong in the cloud, right?
Nothing. And it's so affordable, too, huh?
But then again, lightning strikes.
Yeah.
In this case, it hit it hit Blue Yonder, which provides a service to retail chains.
Mm-hmm. Big ones.
Very big. Yeah. I'm not sure that it's entirely focused on logistics, but the component of it that's causing a lot of trouble now is logistics, getting things to and from the stores and things like that.
Yeah.
They were ransomed.
Yep.
Their cloud software was ransomed, and now that company is dealing with it. And you're seeing the fallout all over the place at different retail chains. A number of them were hit in the UK, so it seems to be more of a thing out, across the pond. Mm-hmm. But here in the US, Starbucks was affected.
Yeah.
And they've had to come up with workarounds to get stuff moved around, which Starbucks is big enough to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have resources that most companies don't have. But I'm sure that there are smaller chains that are affected, and they don't necessarily have the back doors that Starbucks would have to get things moved around. So you may be having trouble finding your favorite things in some stores in some places, and it's the liability of putting stuff in the cloud.
It's a liability, so that you're ransomed, you can't do nothing, and you're just sitting around waiting for them to fix their servers. So just so you guys know, the cloud is somebody else's servers.
Right.
Right. And those servers are run by IT people. And those IT people are as fallible as anybody. And so somebody sent an email, or somebody socially engineered Blue Yonder's somebody over and within their network, and was able to get inside and ransom and encrypt the entire shooting match. And of course, we'll see how fast they can get it back up and running. When did this happen? Do you know, Dennis?
It happened just about a week ago.
So they're still probably impacted.
Yeah, they are.
So their disaster recovery is going to be hopefully not as bad as the CrowdStrike issues or other, CDK, which was another cloud-based auto dealership software that was ransomed a month or two ago, where 15,000 dealerships couldn't sell you a car.
Right. That was big. And that was a lot of money per sale.
Yeah.
And that they were well over 6 weeks getting that resolved finally.
And once you get it resolved, guess what? You're 20 seconds away from it happening again.
Right. Right in the middle of all of those dealerships, you know, posting all their transactions in a fury once it became available. So,
yeah, it's not good. So we'll put a link up to that story. In other news, some U.S. senators are proposing a law, Dennis, to require a bare minimum of security standards.
A bare minimum? A
bare minimum. In case anyone forgot about Change Healthcare, they're wondering. So they're saying American hospitals and healthcare organizations would be required to adopt multi-factor authentication and other minimum security standards under this new legislation by a bipartisan group of senators. So they're going to work together to tell you, you got to lock your stuff up. You got to make sure that the doors are locked. And if they're not, what's going to happen, do you think? Well, the penalties include $20. No, I'm just kidding. We have no idea what the penalties would be. But having a basic mandatory requirement to put MFA shouldn't be something you have to have mandated. You would think we had the issue here even with ECHN, right? They got ransomed too. I mean, the whole country.
The company that owned them got ransomed, which then trickled down in different ways to the hospitals.
But you really shouldn't need a law that says make sure you put 2FA to protect your systems, because people, when they go in there and you need to actually use your computers to do any kind of clinical work on folks, you won't have them if you don't. I mean, it just seems crazy that
I agree with you. It's beyond belief that we have to legislate this. I mean, it's just insane.
So CISA's been out there forever. We've had some folks from CISA on our program, and CISA is an agency. Yet a million of that are created all the time. This one was created in 2018 to help put in some basic standards, and they are pushing the NIST standards, 800-171 being the one we come across the most. And that NIST standard, of course, calls for you, or that framework calls for you, to put in MFA to protect your systems.
Right.
You know. And again, a lot of these requirements are put in there to help you. But of course, if you're a manufacturer and you're going to be building some sort of, you know, aerospace or military part, you need to protect your systems with these frameworks. And they're all designed to help you understand what you need to do. And there's whole consultancies, of which we are involved as well, to help you understand not only the fact that you have to put in two-factor authentication and maybe do a little bit of security awareness training, and maybe have the proper EDR and MDR in place, and maybe have some spam filters in place, and maybe have a web filter in place. These are some basic things, and they don't have to cost you an arm and a leg. If your MSP is charging you an arm and a leg and maybe even a spleen, you're getting ripped off. It doesn't have to cost you that much. We have an approach that can actually help you understand these things if you're a business that needs to do these things because of military reasons. Now, of course, Dennis, the military and the Department of Justice say, you can charge more for your parts if you put this in place.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they say. Whoa. So if you're making a bag of screws for Pratt & Whitney airplanes, that $20,000 bag of screws can be $40,000. The issue is, though, that if you're not only working for military, how much of your output is actually going to be under the guise of these types of requirements? And so if you're 80-20, you're going to spend a bunch of money every month to protect the 20. You can try to safe harbor it, but it's really kind of difficult to do that. So basically, most small businesses just choose to protect it all.
Yeah.
Which you should do, I think. So we'll put the link up here to these senators who say, hey, you should probably lock the cybersecurity front door if you're a healthcare organization. Huh.
Really?
Really.
Wow. That
sounds like a good idea. Anything else you want to bring up, Dennis?
Well, again, it's holiday season and a lot of people shopping.
Yeah,
I thought I would mention that there's an innovation coming to a lot of grocery stores.
A lot?
Well, it's basically one chain that's doing it, but it's something that is on its way.
Yeah, and it's local.
And it's very local.
Mm-hmm.
There are shopping carts that are now electronic.
Yeah, smart.
And they're smart carts. And what you do is you put your things that you're going to buy on the shelf, put it in the cart.
Mm.
Cart has cameras and barcode readers and everything, and it knows what you just put in.
Right.
And it will add it to your electronic shopping cart.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're going through the store, it'll just collect everything up, and you pay, and you don't even need to stop at a register.
Nice. You just roll your cart right out the door.
Get all your stuff and
put it in the bag. Well, so people put it in the bag. You can actually see it going in the bag.
Well, it watches what you put into your cart, and then you pay for it with
right
the cart.
There. Yeah.
And once you're done, then you can put your stuff in a bag and haul it away. But it takes the cashier out of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it's smart enough to know if you decide that you don't want something that you did put in your cart and take it out, it detects that you removed it.
Interesting.
And it will take it out of your electronic shopping cart, too.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't personally used it, but there is a grocery chain using it that I do go to sometimes.
Local.
Yeah.
You're going to try it?
Yeah, I'll try it.
All right, you can report back.
I'll report back next time, and we'll see how well it works.
Very good. Replacing humans one at a time. The other issue, of course, is to put the cart. Where are you going to put the cart after you brought it out to your car?
Yeah, I you brought that up, and I didn't see any mention of that in the articles that I saw. So
I mean, I can't even find a cart that doesn't have a wheel that doesn't work, and you're going to now have you're gonna need tech support when the thing freezes up on you. I was just into my 15th thing, and now it froze up. In other news, I just saw this morning. I found it kind of interesting. Half of the thought leader crap, as the Register would put it, on LinkedIn is indeed AI scribbled. So basically, I love their headlines. So basically, if you have these thought leader things on LinkedIn where these people propose to know what they're talking about, right? So they go ahead and talk about a subject as a subject matter expert, and more than half of it is simply AI generated. Probably fair. It could be correct, right? But it's AI generated. So the people who you think generated it, these thought leaders, are just telling AI to do it. And you know, some of these things are just ridiculous. I mean, they examined 8,795 long form LinkedIn posts, and found that 54% are estimated to be AI generated. So just you think you're following these people and you're not really following them. All you're doing is following their ability to do a prompt with AI.
So it's not tech. It's not LinkedIn that's doing it. It's the people on LinkedIn that are generating these things through AI. Okay.
Yeah, they're using ChatGPT or Gemini. Now, I played a little bit with Gemini and ChatGPT this past weekend, and I just asked, Gemini. No, I asked ChatGPT to write a love poem for my wife. And of course, I texted it to her. And of course, her phone was right next to me on the couch. So she forgot to bring her phone with her. And so that didn't get me anywhere. But it did a wonderful job. Now, being the goofball that I am, I didn't read the whole thing through. And I didn't notice. This is the problem, right? So you do the AI and you think, I skimmed through it. It looked very nice. I'm like, wow, I'm a poet and I didn't know it. And I looked at it, and of course, the AI is talking about my wife's beautiful blue eyes while they're brown.
Whoops.
Of all the things, right? Tell me what color my eyes are, right? You don't even know. Well, yes, I know. I know.
But does ChatGPT know?
No. It wrote it in the right style, but I didn't think to put the type of things in there that it might talk about, because clearly I don't know how to write a love poem. And so it did a wonderful job. So all I'm telling you is, if you just prompt it right, you can get some great output literally in seconds. So, you know, as the nuclear power plants are all powering up, so I can write my wife a love poem, right? Great use of technology. And I'm too lazy to even check that it's the right eye color. That's where we're headed at a high speed. So she goes, did you read it? I'm like, yeah. I was like, oh, she nailed me. But she still liked it anyway.
Okay.
It was a thought that count, Dennis.
It so, better count.
Yeah. I'm kind of for something. I'm not sure how many points I got there, but I got some. All right. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock on Small Business Saturday. So get out there and shop small, local, right? Go buy from the local provider, whoever's out there. You've got a great place in Vernon called Bits and Pieces. Say hi to Rebecca out there. That's a great little shop. There's plenty of little shops that are out there to help you with your gift giving this season. And you're gonna that type of money spent locally, much more valuable than when you buy it from Bezos. So help them out. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. We'll be right back.
Yes.
Was lovely. Just see Jimmy Fallon with his sunglasses on in the rain. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? but whatever. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. And feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. The first call of the morning is Ben on his cell phone. Let's see what he's got cooking. Hey, Bill. Ben, what's up?
Hi. I'm planning to install Ubuntu on a computer that has Windows and replace Windows, actually.
Right. Sure.
I just want to be able to reinstall Windows if I ever want to.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering what the best thing to do is. Like, should it be a recovery drive or installation media that I need to create, or?
Well, what I would do is I would first, before I install Ubuntu on the computer, I would use whatever tool is on the computer already to generate an installation drive or a recovery drive that will get Windows back on there. Okay. And I would keep that USB stick somewhere safe.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks.
Put it away. Do it. Mm-hmm. You'll be okay.
Write down your key somewhere too.
Well, yeah, if you've got a BitLocker key.
Yeah.
And include that with it. But the second thing to do when you install Ubuntu is you're going to use, when you get into the wizard where it asks you how you want to set it up, what you're going to do is just tell it to use the entire system drive. Now, that is going to wipe out the existing system recovery partition that Windows installed on it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're okay because you now have that on a USB stick.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all right. So you just do that with it. Linux itself, including Ubuntu, will also have its own recovery partition and it will get installed there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would be using it natively as a Linux machine. And if you ever decide you want Windows back in, you just stick the USB stick in it, boot to that, and let it reinstall. And you do the same thing where you have the Windows installer, wipe the drive, start over, clean it, and get rid of everything Linux related. And of course, the thing to remember is you got to back up your data before you do any of this.
Yeah.
What we can do is post a link about how to generate a Windows recovery USB stick. And you do, like I said, you do that first.
And then, of course, there's a boot order, too. If you ever have to reboot, you got to change the order to be the USB stick.
You would go into the BIOS in there. You could either do that or you can just find out what the keystroke is to, select your boot device.
Yeah.
On HP computers, it's F12 during the boot process. And some other manufacturers have another keystroke.
Yeah. Are you going to do some experimenting there, Ben? Is that what you're trying to do?
So I had Ubuntu on one computer, but it's reached the end of its life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to get it on a different one now.
Yeah, more current.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense.
So, anyway.
All right. Well, good luck to you. Let us know how it goes.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right.
Have a good day.
You too. A man playing with the Ubuntu is definitely not for the faint of heart.
No, but if you've gotten all your pieces in order, I was saying, make sure you have that USB stick as a recovery drive for Windows.
You should do that anyways.
Yeah, you should. But as long as you've got all those pieces in place first, you should be able to fool around a little bit.
What could go wrong?
I wouldn't advise a business computer to be treated this way.
No, you got to get things done.
Those have to be a lot more stable. But you can be a little bit adventurous as long as you plan ahead. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, anything other than Microsoft. Actually, I was reading, too, that even the folks at Google who are about to have, if they're going to get broken up, right, eventually, there's some targets on their back, right? And they've got the whole Chromebook thing. And now they're actually going to be considering doing Android laptops, right? Mm-hmm. Android-based systems, not just smartphones. And I've always wondered why. Like, the tablets are Chromebooks, and right. Chrome-based. But the Android systems are perfect. They don't even need different types of apps. Why are you designing another app for an – and they never work right when you're running on a Chromebook the way they worked on your phone.
True.
Just drives my wife nuts, by the way. And now they're going to be working on Android-based laptops just in time for them to get broken up into – well, again, it didn't work with Microsoft, so we'll see how it works in going forward. But I just found it interesting that they took so long to decide to do that, you know? How many OSs do you want to support? Chrome, the Chrome browser, the Android OS? Just doesn't make any sense. So feel free to get online, 860-522-522. WTIC is the number. We are here until 11 o'clock on Small Business Saturday. Shop small. Get out there locally and support somebody. Your local, you know, little bookstore, the gift, little gift shop. Go get gift cards from the restaurants. Whatever you need to do, get out there. And if we all do a little bit, we'll support our local communities. And that's where everything matters, really. So get out there and support those businesses.
And there's a rebound effect when you spend locally. Mm. That money is kept local and it rebounds inside the area where you live, and it helps everybody in the community effectively.
Right. And coming from the rebound capital of the world, we should be doing that. So everything's been posted live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. Yeah, it's the name of the show.com, which also works. If you follow us on Facebook and Zuckerberg lets it get into your news feed, it's there as well. Mike G's posting all that. And if you follow us on X at Tab Computer Sys, it'll get right to you. We'll be right back. Wait a minute, it's not April. This is a weird song.
Oh.
But it's a good song.
Yeah.
One of the Beatles tunes, right?
Yep.
So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. And I was telling Dennis off air that we were playing with AI a little bit over the holiday. We're just hanging out there on the couch with the fam. And my son says, have ChatGPT draw a happy bunny. And so we did. We drew a happy bunny.
Oh,
and it drew a very nice happy bunny. Gemini is garbage. I'm not sure what Google's doing, but they're out of their mind. So I don't think they understand the question. So ChatGPT drew this happy bunny. It was like a cartoon bunny. Now, Gemini drew it as an actual bunny. It was just a happy, just a random rabbit sitting there. You assume it's happy. The one that ChatGPT drew was like a happy bunny. And then you say, make it happier. And then the colors are brighter. That the bunny looks like it's on, I don't know, psychedelic drugs or something like that. But it's a happier bunny. And you ask it to be make it a happier bunny again. And it gets even happier and happy. You know, it's just all these crazy colors. And by the time you're done, now you have to pay for the subscription to get to the next levels because you only get 3 drawings before you have to wait for 22 hours.
Oh.
But the next levels are basically, it becomes like a godlike, omnipotent looking bunny floating in the air. And then it becomes almost abstract. You know, super god bunny. So it just goes from just a happy bunny to something ethereal. And, but again, you keep asking Gemini to make it happier and it just gives it a carrot. So I'm not sure which is wronger. I mean, maybe a happy bunny is a bunny with a carrot, and that's about as happy as a bunny can get. I mean, maybe ChatGPT is reading too much into the bunny's happiness because it does read in. It's an interesting concept where it got to god levels. And, the other bunnies are just chewing on a carrot. Play with it. It's fun. It's as we, you know, crank. I just think of Clark W. Griswold going, putting the light things together. You know, I'm just doing that. Everyone's sitting there ChatGPT, and you got the nuclear switch being thrown as we're all making our bunnies happier. That's modern progress, Dennis. So that's just a mess stuff that pops into my head. Let's go to Bonnie and Amston and see what she's got going on. Hey, Bonnie, what's up?
Good morning. I have a regular PC on one end of my house, but I would like to have something in my kitchen just for recipes. I'd like to be able to go online with it and have something like Word, some kind of a document program. And I don't need it for anything else because I have my PC.
All right. Well,
I have no idea. I mean, do you talk Chrome? You talk this? You talk that? I'm lost. I've been a PC person forever.
Yeah, we're just jabbering here. We just talk a lot. We don't know what we're saying. There's tablets.
I like the carrot idea. I really do. That's awesome.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's all you need is a carrot to make you happy. I think basically, in the old days, I would have told you to get an all-in-one. Right. It's a computer and a monitor all in one. Right. That's not too big. The problem is they make them kind of big. I still think they're out there.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So if you get like a touchscreen all in one, that might be kind of neat, but it might be a little pricey because of the touchscreen. Then you bring yourself to a simple tablet like a, you know, but you can get the word applet on Android and or iPad. So depending on what ecosphere you're part of, those work fine. Right. So you can just use a simple iPad, and that may make sense, or an Android. I recommend the Samsungs. Go ahead.
An iPad would be I'm a Droid person. I'm definitely. Oh,
then go to Samsung. Then look at the Samsung
PC stuff.
Yeah. Look at the Samsung tablets, the Galaxies. You'll probably get some great deals. Yeah, you can probably get some great deals right now, Black Friday type deals on the latest Galaxies. And they're powerful. You can load the Word app if you want to use Microsoft Word to write out your – and you can get a little keyboard with these things.
Yep.
Oh, keyboard is necessary. Yeah, a mouse. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Without those, I can't function.
Yeah, so stop by like a big box store like Best Buy, and they'll have them out there for you, and they'll show you the accessories that go with these Samsung devices. That would probably be your best bet.
They also have them in the warehouse clubs.
Mm. Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh, like BJ's?
BJ's, yep. Costco, yeah.
Okay. So we're looking for a Samsung Galaxy tablet.
Mm.
That has the accessories that I would require.
Yeah.
When you say that, I've looked online a little bit, and I get really confused. They're talking about 14, 16, and I'm like, what are you talking about?
Usually inches. I think they're talking about how big the display is, maybe. 14-inch display, 16-inch display. How big, how big of a tablet you want to hold or walk around with?
No, I just want to put it on the counter, prop it up, and...
Mm-hmm.
Be able to read my recipes.
I hear you.
It sounds so stupid, but
no,
you know, it's I'm printing them out, walking them over. It's really dumb, and my phone is just too small.
Who wants to print and use a piece of paper? You know, when you can buy a $1,000 tablet.
You got it. I mean, you know,
modern problem. You should see our recipes. My wife and I are not the best cooks, but we have this shrimp scampi recipe. It's on one piece of paper, right? It's got so much stuff spilled on it. It looks like, I mean, yeesh. Probably if you ate the recipe, it'd probably be really good by now. So yeah, it's up to you if you want to spend that money and do that. But yeah, I mean, it's great to check them out, and I bet you find a good deal. It may not be $1,000. I'm just kidding. But they could go that high. I think they are pretty pricey.
Oh, they can get very expensive. But yeah. Some of them are, you know, in the 200 something range.
Right.
200 to 300 for a good one. And you can get things like stands for them so that you don't have to, you know, move them around in the kitchen.
Right. What'd you say, Bonnie?
They talk about, I guess they mean refurbished.
Though you can get refurbished ones that have been broken and fixed. That might be a deal. It might be a good way to start rather than paying full retail.
Yeah.
Okay. And so those are.
And see if you like the format, you know.
Mm, yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much. I really appreciate this. And everybody who eats all the good stuff I produce will love it too.
Awesome. You're a treasure.
Sometimes. Thank you. Have a really happy holiday. And you guys keep up this great work. I listen to you most every single Saturday.
Thank you. We'll do our best. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right,
you take care. Bye-bye.
Yes. The technology that's out there, right? I mean, when we try to air fry something, you'd think I would save it, right? So all I do is Google air fry this or air fry that. And the first recipe that pops up is what we use. So the time changes, right? The temperature's always different. It's like... But I mean, we cook everything in the air fryer. Everything.
Oh,
I mean, from hamburgers to steaks to salmon, and you just Google how long in an air fryer, and it's like, here's how long. It's like, okay, it's almost like the air fryer needs to be smart. I mean, in this case, wouldn't it be nice to just tell it, You probably could do the use it. The buttons are so complicated, though. That, who wants to go through all that, right? Who wants to RTFM to figure out which button to hit for the proper thing you're supposed to be cooking at it? You just go to the interwebs, and it tells you. But, oh, my goodness, we've had such good luck with the air fryer. We didn't even know it was such a great – it's a great product for people who don't cook very well, and that's us. We used to just boil everything. How about you, Dennis?
Boil?
That's all we did was boil. Like boil pasta, boil potatoes. We literally just everything we ate was just simple and boiled.
Well, I would roast and bake and all kinds of.
Better man than us.
And I got an instant pot, which is very nice.
Yeah, that's good technology then too. Yep. I've heard that's good. We're not there yet, Dennis. We just can't get to that next level. All right. Jay's calling in. Carolyn's putting it in right now. And let's see what she says here. So Jay wants to know how to get pictures off crowd. I'm not sure what that means. Cloud. Oh, there we go. How to get pictures off cloud is his question. But give me a second when she puts you. There we go. So, Jay, you want to get some pictures off the cloud?
Yes, Eric and Dennis. They were on the computer and doing this for a friend, and for some odd reason, they end up going into the cloud. Now, you've got plenty of pictures on this computer where it was taken with a camera or a phone, but some of them ended up on the cloud. And I asked one computer guy about how he said go to, it's on Windows OneDrive, go through that or something like that. And I couldn't even figure that out. How you get that? I mean, they had no right to do that. I don't know, it was Microsoft who did that, put that in. He asked Norton for a backup, and that was another.
Yeah, Norton's going to go to the cloud, too. Yeah. It'll be hard to read it, though. Well, it'll be kind of a Norton backup code. But so how did it get to the cloud? Many ways. Your phone was going to go to the cloud if you back it up, right? A lot of people take pictures with their phones. There's a good thing in that. In that, if you lose your phone, we've had numerous callers call in and say, "Hey, I went on this trip to Italy and I lost all my pictures." Right. So, if it's not backed up, if you drop your phone or something like that, you may never get the pictures back. So, a backup is a good thing as long as you protect the cloud account. Right. So, keep in mind that if you're using an Android, you probably have a Gmail based cloud backup.
Yeah, well, he has a desktop, the Dell desktop, that regular, CPU, CPU unit box, and he uses a wireless, jetpack wireless, but the thing is, he didn't know how it got approved, or they didn't give him a permission to do that, as far as I'm concerned.
I hear you. Well,
if it's on Windows, he probably...
Yes.
He probably was prompted by Microsoft to set up OneDrive. And once he had OneDrive synced on the computer, it probably prompted him again to back up certain locations on his computer.
Right.
And among them is going to be the pictures folder in your Windows profile. Right. And that would be all those pictures. Now, it sounds like I'm kind of throwing your friend under the bus because I'm saying it's something that he must have consented to or tapped something or clicked something to let it happen.
Right.
But on the other hand, Microsoft gets in your face about these things.
Right.
And in a lot of cases, people just say, "All right, just go away. I'll do it. Fine." And then there you go. You just set up your sink.
Right. Makes you mad. But the computer, what it was is that on the folder and on his computer, and he got pictures that do show up. You can see the picture, you click on it, you can see the whole picture.
Yeah.
With some of them, the folders, they are, or we call folders, if you click on them, it's like a little, whatever, click on it, it says your computer must sync. Sync is a key word. With what? I don't know what they mean. Sync with what? I don't know.
They want you to sync with the cloud.
Well,
is there? I don't know if there's supposed to be a code or a password to be able to get to your own pictures that are in the cloud.
Well, there should be. Pictures don't just go to an anonymous cloud that no one controls.
Right.
All right. There's
Bill Gates controls it.
Well, there's always going to be some kind of a distinct account that they are attached to.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, it sounds like it's OneDrive, which is controlled by Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be a Microsoft account that these are connected with.
Yeah.
Microsoft account.
Yeah. So, Jay, we have to go to a break. We're going to put you on hold for a sec. We're going to try to find if we can find you some articles as to how to do that. There's got to be some out there, how to get my stuff off of OneDrive.
This, again, the syncing is confusing.
Yeah.
I don't know what he could sync to what. To the Microsoft. It's just how do it didn't explain anything.
I know.
And I can't get the picture up. And I told him, well, I told my friend, I don't know what I could do. I already asked a guy who repairs computers at a computer store about it. He said, spoke about Microsoft OneDrive.
Yeah.
Click on that. But I tried doing that. That didn't work. Come up with anything. I don't know what I don't know.
All right. I hear you, Jay. Let's put you on hold and we'll see what we can help. We're going to step out for a quick break here and get back to your calls. Feel free to get online. Three lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back. All right, we are back, and Jay's on the line trying to figure out where his buddy's files are. And
just in the pictures alone, just the particular pictures that were I may have taken the pictures and put them on his computer. By the way, I'm not connected to the internet. I've dealt with computers over the years in college, but I don't. To me, the internet. Dealing with his computer, with he has Norton, Yahoo, Google, everything, and it's a mess. And
Yeah. So you're not on the internet. You're disconnected. You're going old school. You're off the grid. You're a doomsday prepper.
I love dealing with computers off the grid because I could documents and pictures. I don't have to worry about seeing something getting lost in the cloud or where else it goes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it's an approach. So,
I understand how you feel.
Yeah, I'm in the middle. It's one of those things. Like, I want my stuff backed up, and backing up into the cloud is one of the best places to back it up. But it's not foolproof.
Yeah.
Nothing's foolproof. You got to have a good account.
Right.
So you're trying to find his pictures. And when you go to the OneDrive, you're just seeing thumbnails. You're not seeing the pictures. Is that what you're saying to us?
No, on his computer, they got pictures that show up. I put them. He had a separate. Got him in a couple folders of his family and a few animals, everything else. And then when you look on the pictures part of the folder does show a picture. It shows up on a couple of these folders and what is I tie them under animals or something like that. But there are some of those folders. They don't even tell you what they are or what. You just click on it and just say needs to be synced.
Yeah,
synced with. And it doesn't say to what, where, or how.
The only thing I can think of is it's syncing to the iCloud. But I don't know. Maybe you're already in the cloud when you're looking at the pictures. any thoughts,
I can't
Dennis?
See the pictures in the...
Not really, huh?
I can't see no pictures in the cloud at all.
Right.
I mean, I can't get to the cloud. I don't even know how.
Well, when you're on his computer, the OneDrive would be the cloud.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what this guy's mentioning about at the computer store. The one was a repair. He said, you have to, it's through OneDrive. And whatever.
Yeah. Well, we can put some information about OneDrive. Maybe that's really, really where you need to start. But you don't have enough experience with the cloud, really. I don't think to help,
I don't have experience with the cloud.
Yeah, and again, not understanding fully what you're seeing, it makes it harder because you don't really know if you're seeing it in the cloud or not.
But I believe in your viewpoint about backing up. I mean, I use USB solid drives, and I back up pictures and documents and videos. Even his videos are backed up on his computer because I know, like you said, one of these days, the computer mechanics or the electronics is going to go poof. And it's going to, so we have backup just in case again. And the only problem with that is that these USB drives, there was a lady in her editorial paper one time spoke about that she get a new computer update, but she couldn't use her USB drives that she stored a lot of her pictures to computers. I came across one of that. That didn't have a place to put the USB.
The old USB port is gone, so you need to adapt it to a different type, like a USB to USB-C adapter.
Yeah.
I know. It always keeps changing. So we want to keep you on your toes.
Yes, comrade. I mean, my fellow American. I tell you, I don't know how to. You don't. Well, I can't. I don't know, it's a long story about where I'm coming from and what I. But I've had enough.
Yeah, you've had. Okay. You sound like you've had enough. We'll put a link up here about the cloud a little bit, so maybe you can do a little research to help him. But it sounds like he doesn't know where he stuck his stuff. And if you don't have a lot of experience with OneDrive, you're not going to be much help. You may want to consider if there's a like a senior center or something like that where you can bring his computer rather than paying for it. There are a lot of folks bring at these computer? Places. Yeah, bring his computer or go to the library.
Bring the box.
To the senior center, possibly.
Yeah.
A laptop is easy, but bringing the CPU in, the whole box is it,
go see if there's anybody at the senior center that's willing to help. But go to the library to do a little research with the librarians. They're very good with computers. So there's some places you can try first for free. But we need to better understand your question. I don't think we're getting fully we're not able to really understand what you're asking.
Next time I'm going to write it down in quotations and write it down and tell you exactly what it says.
That'll be helpful.
Thinking is the key word. Yeah. Okay.
All right, Jay.
I appreciate your show. It's very fascinating, and I appreciate every I like to trust how you believe in. Can't trust technology. I mean, between who's smarter, AI or humans?
Right now, I think humans got the edge, but just by a little bit. There's not a lot of actual intelligence anymore. So.
Well, good luck, comrades. I mean, my fellow Americans. I tell you. Okay, it's a very interesting show.
Thanks, Jay. We appreciate
it. Take care, Eric and Dennis. Take care. Happy holidays.
You too.
Bye-bye. You too.
Bye-bye. Yeah, a little more information would have been helpful on that question. I couldn't really get at what his problem was. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. This is a live program on Small Business Saturday. So when it's recorded, I apologize. And we play it again for you. But right now it's live. And be sure to shop small, shop local, you know, buy a gift card, you know, go to the local bagel shop. I think my wife listened to me on that this morning. And support those local businesses because there's a definite benefit when you do so rather than sending it all to the big box, the Bezos of the world. Give it to the local guy who's sitting there with his pizza shop ready to make you a nice grinder. So we're going to be here until 11. Get online, 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back.